Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown podcast. It is Sunday night, live from the JBS. My name is Jake Luke. I'm joined on my screen by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz, and we talked last week about how the Ravens season was over, and we kind of eulogized it then and there. That was, you know, it turned out to be correct, but I guess we're kind of here to do that again as the Ravens drop 16-13 to the Pittsburgh Steelers and old Sheriff Roethlisberger in overtime effort that was ugly throughout most of the contest. They wind up going to overtime with the Steelers. They get the ball first, don't do anything with it. Pittsburgh drives down with the clock dwindling. Chris Boswell kicks home a field goal that officially knocked the Ravens out of contention. It didn't wind up mattering because the Dolphins took care of their business at home over the Patriots. So it looked like the Ravens maybe had some skin in the game there with Jacksonville beating the Colts. But ultimately, with that Miami win, the Ravens were officially eliminated with or without a win today. So they go out there and they lose, which is disappointing because the Steelers are now heavily in the mix to make the playoffs here. So Ravens wind up 1-5 within the division, 8-9 on the year. A very, very tough second half of the season overall. And I think similar to what we were saying last week, I feel like what we saw today, particularly on offense, was pretty emblematic of what we've been seeing for the past 6 weeks. But we were both at the game today. It was a soggy sorrows type of situation. Rain just coming down and just a light sheet for pretty much the entire day. Freezing weather. How was it for you, bud? You are muted.
It was definitely a little bit soggy. It was a little bit spicy. It was a little bit mythical. And it was a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows. Like you said, emblematic of this season. It was quite a ride. As the game progressed, it just felt like maybe we set ourselves up here with all the John Wayne Roethlisberger, the old Kevin Costner talk.
This is our fault, 100%, by the way.
I was trying my best to keep my mind from straying to the fact that I knew that at some point Ben Roethlisberger was going to have the ball with a chance to win the game. And it just felt like that was a destiny that had already been decided before it occurred. So it was fulfilled ultimately. Ben Roethlisberger finishes 17-10 in his career against the Ravens. And I'll give credit to Ben, man. He made a one throw to Pat baby Rob Gronkowski Freiermuth on, like, I want to say like a 13-yard out beyond Tony Jefferson's reach that was right on the money. And it was like a game-winning throw, kind of, where he, you know, hit a strike, needed to throw a nice ball. Jefferson had some decent coverage, and it got put right in the perfect place. Steelers converted a big first down, I want to say on third down. I'll go back and look at that in a minute. But Roethlisberger had a couple nice plays there. The Ravens, you know, dropped some interceptions. They did all of the things that they've been doing. They turned the ball over in the end zone. They were unable to convert in goal to go. They had a great defensive game and couldn't make and everyone sort of flipped out. John Harbaugh said after the game, very dejected, that they couldn't make the play. And everyone was like looking to the offensive side of the ball, but it was both sides of the ball. It was like over and over again against the Packers and against the Rams and against, you know, the Steelers two times and against the Browns and against all of these different opponents down this losing streak and really the second half of the season. Both sides of the ball have played admirably, have put themselves in positions to win. They have played well enough to reach the crux of games to win and couldn't make the play, the one play. Fourth down, couldn't get the Steelers off the field. They convert. They end up winning. on a 4th and 8. And offensively, just couldn't stick that dagger in the end zone. Instead, throw an interception. And it's a 10-6 ball game. Steelers get the ball back when you could have been up, you know, a touchdown or been up 17-6 in a soggy, wet game. So in the end, it was this season. And it was Ben Roethlisberger walking out of Baltimore. We're not going to have to see that again, but it was definitely a special moment. There was a funny camaraderie in the stadium of Steelers fans and Ravens fans, both rooting for the Jags, watching the Jags just jag off and drum the Colts, which never could happen, never, ever, ever could happen, according to everyone, you know, never going to happen. But it was, you know, it was a crazy day. And it didn't matter either way because the Ravens wouldn't have made the playoffs, but they could have had that moral victory of beating Ben Roethlisberger, sending him out, and the Steelers missing the playoffs. To be honest, full disclosure, I didn't realize that it was full-blown kind of win and in for the Steelers with the way things played out. I didn't fully realize that until like the very end. So, you know, the Steelers are pumped up. They're going to get to have their magical playoff ride with Ben after what they get today. So I hate the Steelers. I hate Ben Roethlisberger, but it's fun for them. They get to have that. It's a fun little storyline in the NFL and feels like, you know, there's some greater forces at hand. Maybe it's Vegas. Maybe it's Roger Goodell. Maybe it's G.O.D. But the Steelers felt destined to win that one and Ben doing what he did and capping off his career that way. And I don't think anyone thinks they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, but they did it. They won. The Ravens couldn't get it done. 16-13. I don't know. And at the end, I was like, how did I not predict this score? How did I not know it would be 13-10 or 16-13? It just had to be that way. So it was a lot of fun as a game, highs and lows. I'm sure that people who are neutral in that game, I'm sure, you know, obviously we're big Pardon My Take guys, Barstool podcast, Pardon My Take. I'm sure they probably fucking loved watching that game. It was probably an awesome experience for them. But in the end, you know, it stunk for Ravens fans. It was cool for Steelers fans. And this season can finally lay down by the river and pass away.
Yeah, it's over. It's mercifully over. I was talking about that a little bit on Twitter, how I was just, you know, I was just ready for it to end, ready to turn the page. And I was all in on trying to win this game. I wasn't really like one of these guys that really wanted to worry too much about draft position prior to a game. But the way that it worked out, I think worked out fine. You made the point of John Wayne Roethlisberger. I think I find that to be a fun storyline. So I'm to be honest, like I've had my fun kind of poking the bear and railing against him a little bit, but I was served my helping of crow on that one. And I am, if I have to see one annoying team make the playoffs, let's make it an entertaining, annoying team like these guys who are, you know, I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. So to allow this charade to go on for another week and kind of continue to have my fun with it, I'm okay with that. So that's fine. I didn't realize it was like a win and in thing for them either, but wound up being that way. I was sitting with a couple of Steelers fans who were pretty pumped up, and you know, it was, the energy was fine today. Actually, the only fight that I saw was between Ravens fans, which was odd. Somebody like dumping a beer on someone else. It was getting a little rowdy and strange, decadent and depraved in Section 528. But I don't know. I'm glad I got in there. Glad I got into the stadium after missing the last couple weeks and seeing this team off the right way in just an absolute piss fest of freezing rain and just terrible, terrible football as far as entertainment value goes. So, you know, it worked out that way, but ultimately, like what it came down to the last couple of weeks is what you were talking about there with the defense, just not being able to get off the field, man. Like that was the story of the game for the defense for me. 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, you know, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, 4th and 8. Ultimately, you know, is what kills you. You just can't get off the field in that spot. And like for me, I know they're missing guys in the defense, but like for me, the expectations are higher on that side of the ball because of what you're dealing with on the offense as far as injuries go, particularly to the quarterback position. And the fact that, to the John Harbaugh point, they weren't able to find a play in the last 6 weeks. You had the opportunity on 4th down against the Rams. You had the opportunity on 4th down today. Had a couple different opportunities to find a play on defense the last couple weeks. You had a couple on offense a few weeks before that and just ultimately did not work out. But yeah, I mean, to a lot of people's point, it's probably for the better because just like the Steelers, I don't think this team would have done much in the playoffs. So they are locked in now at the 14th pick in the draft and going to be getting some guys healthy, hopefully next season. But a little bit, of course, one last kick in the nuts as we leave 2021. Tyus Bowser tearing his Achilles in today's game. You have to think that's going to factor into his 2022 season, which really fucking sucks because he was like one of the
people. It factors into the rest of his career.
Yeah, it did. Definitely. 100%. And like that really sucks because he broke out in a way that they needed big time the last couple of years. And to be on that affordable contract that he signed this past year and to play as well as he did, what a revelation he was. So I hope that ultimately things work out okay for him. I'm confident that they will, but they got to find a way to handle it correctly because I don't think they handled some of these injury situations correctly even this year. Not even necessarily their fault in some cases, like the Stanley thing was just kind of a weird thing, but the Nick Boyle situation was a little weird. Let's make sure he's fully healthy and ready to go before they put him back onto a football field in any capacity, in my opinion.
It's just another, you know, situation, whatever. It's I don't know what to say about all these injuries. Sure, you know, you want guys to wait until they're healthy. And guys probably think that they're healthy enough at a certain point. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like there's a degree of it to which it's a veterinarian. It's like if the dog's not whining, how do you know it's in pain? It just is a little difficult to measure in some ways. So it's just ultimately insane that had to happen, of course. Ben Roethlisberger walked out and gave him like a tap on the helmet, the Ravens. Made a great move, in my opinion, to sign Bowser for an extremely Raven-friendly contract. I was shocked that that's all that he signed for. Had a great year, a versatile player, a player who can do it all in your defense, smart, doesn't come off the field a ton, able to make plays in every aspect of being a defensive football player. And we've watched his pass rush grow. We've watched his situational awareness grow. We've watched him become more of a leader, be put up to the podium more often, and things of that nature. So. Now I'm, you know, begging Justin Houston to come back for sure. It makes drafting another edge defender probably a little bit more enticing considering that. And Achilles is extremely difficult to come back from. Guys do it, but it wasn't too long ago that guys weren't able to do it. They are going to miss him, frankly. And they missed a lot of guys this year. I just, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited for the season to end in the sense of, it's just, you know, it's the day of reckoning. It's the day of takes. Fire this guy. Why did they do this? Why did they do that? It's the day of hindsight, the day of second guessing, the day of all of these things. They lost six straight. One of three teams to lose six straight. But, you know, making the playoffs would have been cool. And I think a lot of Ravens fans wanted to say, yeah, we made the playoffs despite. We did this with our backup guys. But guess fucking what? They had backups and they couldn't win. And they played a rough schedule. In the back half, I mean, they haven't played a team with a losing record in, I guess, the Browns
Bears were the last
narrowly
one.
Had a losing record.
Yeah, Browns were eight wins. Yeah, so they would be, and I mean, that's let's call that what it is.
That's a divisional opponent. Yeah, it's a divisional opponent. The Ravens were at the forefront of the division's mind. They've gone to the playoffs three straight years. The Steelers kind of reeled off 11 straight last year, weirdly, which is like the opposite coin of what the Ravens have had go on this year. Everything went their way for those first 11 games, and then the Steelers basically lost out the same way the Ravens did last year. So, you know, Ravens finished 1-5, swept by two divisional opponents. One of those was featuring Josh Johnson at starting quarterback and some COVID situations and things like that. So I think everybody's sick and tired of hearing about injuries, and it's like they can't take it anymore. So you want to start blaming who are we going to blame now? It's they're injured, but why aren't they winning? It's like, you know, the New York Giants are also injured and aren't even close to winning football games. So no one takes solace in that. There's no moral victories, horseshoes and hand grenades, this, that, and the other. But it's like people are having these expectations. The Ravens were the one seed. The Ravens beat the Chiefs. The Ravens were doing things. But there's questions in here right now. This offense needs to put up points on the board sooner in the game. We don't have a good secondary, so why can't the offense put points on the board? Probably because they don't have Lamar Jackson. Probably because their entire offense in Lamar Jackson, who is a special player at that position, is out. And they've struggled. I mean, they put up points early against the Packers. They scored against the Packers. They couldn't stop the Packers. And it's just these fourth downs, two-point conversions. That it's not even just that the Ravens haven't been able to find the play. Nobody drops the ball. The other team never drops the ball, slips, falls, fucks up, throws a pick. They never make a mistake. It has been like the craziest stretch of inability to get even lucky once. You know, there's so much luck involved in every single sport, and they just haven't even been able to have the coin fall the right way. Even though they did get Ben Roethlisberger, there was a brief fleeting thought of mine that Roethlisberger was going to call heads instead of tails, which never fails, and that's how his career ended. And that would have been incredible for me, but it wasn't that way. So, I mean, they need to score points sooner. Yeah, they need to score 30 points. They need to score 50 points. They need to get stops. It's just difficult. And as soon as I realized, I was checking Twitter periodically throughout the game, and I realized, I think Ryan Mink tweeted and said, okay, Chris Westry's down. Now they have two remaining cornerbacks, and Brandon Stevens is going to go play corner. I was like, okay, the Steelers are probably going to go in trips or in bunches and force switches and force the defense to have to communicate and leverage things properly, which they didn't really do until 4th and 8. And then they do exactly that, bunch it up. Exactly. So they do it on 4th and 8 and bunch up. And the DBs, I think it was maybe Seymour and Stone, I want to say, were communicating violently pre-snap. Something was wrong. Something was wrong. Guess what? Free release, runs an in route. Nobody's covering him. First down, season over. So it's just like, oh, well, we need to score more points. Our secondary sucks. Well, their offense sucks too. They're bad. This is a bad team today. This was a bad team that wouldn't win many football games in the NFL over the course of a full season. So again, it's just wanting something magical to happen and then getting angry when the exceptional, when the rare doesn't happen is ultimately futile. And nobody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to blame someone. They didn't prepare for Ronnie Stanley's injury well enough. Well, they also didn't prepare for the fact mentally that Orlando Brown was also going to decide, I don't want to play right tackle anymore, when he could have ended up playing left tackle his entire year in hindsight. And it was like, okay, so they were supposed to have a contingency plan for Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown at the same time. And even if they didn't have that and just had like Marlon Humphrey or Marcus Peters or like, you know, maybe even a running back, maybe even Gus Edwards or J.K. Dobbins healthy throughout this season. Maybe even Nick Boyle freaking healthy throughout this season. They're able to win another couple games, but I think it's a good thing. I think this season in the end is going to make the Ravens take themselves more seriously and have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Understand that if they don't have a successful season next year, that major changes are going to need to go underway. I don't think it's likely that both of the coordinators are back, whether it's for, you know, Wink getting offered a high profile head coaching job or college job or something of the sort, or, you know, they want to move on from Greg Roman. There will be some change to some degree. They lost a ton of assistant coaches last year, Matt Weiss, McDonald, all these guys that are bringing a bunch of new faces. I anticipate they're probably going to have to bring in some more. So it's going to make them take themselves seriously. They're going to have that chip. Everybody's, you know, counting Lamar out again, counting everybody out again. Harbaugh stinks. He goes from being coach of the year. How are they the one seed? Oh my God, this team to fire him, fire him. It's exhausting, but it's exhausted. So all of that's over now. Everybody will scream and cry for another couple days. And then the offseason will gently blanket over top of us and we can move on.
Yeah, they're like, human nature is to like try and make sense of everything, and like some things you just can't make sense of. And like after the Bowser like injury today, I was just like, I can't even make sense of this shit. Like, this is like too crazy for me to even wrap my mind around. And like, you look at the guys that they lost, right down to the fact that Peters and Edwards go down literally within a play of each other on the practice field before the season starts. Like, I can't make sense of that. Like, J.K. Dobbins going down in a preseason game, like, that fucking sucks. Ronnie Stanley not being able to come back when he was expected to, I can't make sense of that. Like, Nick Boyle situation, I don't know what's going on there. And like, so, you know, it sucks, especially like when I was talking to Glenn Clark a couple weeks ago, and he said, like, when you're in the radio business, like, your job is not to be right. Your job is to sell ads and get people to listen. And so like his whole point of view on it, basically saying to me, was like, well, I don't really want to operate like that. I just want to be like a normal person and see things rationally. And so for me, kind of looking at it rationally, like, weirdly, the only thing I can do is just put my hands up and say, I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, it's just like, it, you know, bad luck. It sucks to say. We've been saying it for a couple of weeks and a lot of people don't want to hear it. And I get it. And like, they should have won against the Rams. Like, they should have won that game. They very well could have won today. But it just feels like they got a little bit lucky to start the year, and it feels like
they were an inch and a half from beating the Steelers earlier in the season.
Yeah, and they, you know, it feels like the scales kind of tip back their way a little bit in that regard. You know, they get lucky to beat the Lions on the road. They, you know, get pretty lucky to beat the Chiefs. They get pretty lucky in some respects beating the Vikings. Like, this stuff kind of wound up evening out ultimately, and I don't think it would have if they hadn't even had close to the amount of IR bound the starters and all this kind of stuff. Just crazy shit happening to them. You mentioned some of the coaching losses. I think those are
having a game with 10 COVID players, right, 10 guys out with COVID.
Right. And it's like a lot of this stuff is happening to a lot of other teams, but I'm not sure it happened all at once in sort of the tidal wave kind of way throughout the entire season that it did to the Ravens. I mean, and yeah, maybe I am just like making excuses or doing whatever, but the way I see it, like I'm just calling it like I see it, basically. And like, this team was just from start to finish, it just felt like the universe was working against them, and they were able to win at times and produce some really memorable moments in spite of that. Like that Bears game, I felt pretty checked out going into that, but you know what, Tyler Huntley went out there and he got it done in the end. And he played a lot more football than he probably expected since then. And he, you know, he had his moments, but he wasn't able to get the wins in the way that he was on that day. Like, the magic just kind of wasn't there for him in the way that it wasn't for this roster in a lot of different ways in the second half of the year. So 6 losses in a row, that's not okay. It's not acceptable. But, like, Harbaugh's not getting fired. So, like, if that's your argument, you should probably, like, move on from that because it isn't going to happen. Roman and Wink, to your point, like, I have no idea what's going to happen there. But I do feel a little uncomfortable, like, with all the Roman slander, because it is just so easy to forget, like, what he's dealing with on that side of the ball. Like, I mean, we can't gloss over the fact that he lost his starting quarterback and was down to a third stringer for a very critical game on the road. And, you know, this offense didn't look great, but they still moved the ball pretty well. Their problem was they didn't score enough touchdowns, and ultimately that's what got them. But to me, the difference there is there's no Lamar Jackson in the game. I feel like Lamar Jackson is kind of the difference between making those big plays in the big moments, scoring touchdowns versus not. And I think we ultimately, I think we learned who Tyler Huntley is, and that is to say a decent young backup who's, you know, got some learning to do and can come in and win a couple games for you in a pinch. But as for the discussion of him being like a long-term starter, either here or elsewhere, we should probably table that for now, I think. So we learned some things, but ultimately there just isn't even that much you can learn about this team, I think, because of the fact that they were so decimated. But I also do find myself feeling relatively optimistic because I feel like they're in a good spot as far as getting a lot of guys back healthy. I know there are a ton of decisions to make salary cap wise and all that kind of stuff going into this offseason, but I think they're set up pretty well, man. They'll probably have some cap space to work with. They're picking 14th overall, to our point, 2 third round picks, 5 fourth round picks, I think. So I'm glad it's over, and I'm glad we can kind of move forward into that side of things. And I'm usually not that type of guy. I'm usually like, I try to be as in the present with the regular season as I can. But the last couple weeks, man, it just felt like life threw the last punch a little bit too hard at times. And I'm just ready to move on.
Yeah. The season ends. People, you know, the Roman. I just think, looking back through this game, there's the two big Roman moments are why not run the ball in the red zone. So we look, the two times the Ravens made it down there were, the drive started with a minute 46 left. The Ravens had the ball with 45 seconds left at the Pittsburgh 7. They ran a little boot to Freeman, who got tackled inbounds, and then they called a timeout. So it's 2nd and 6. And I guess the only way I think that's where Freeman got hurt, actually. I think the only way you're kind of comfortable running the ball down there is if you maybe try to spread them out and run the ball. But guess what? They're not going to fall for it. They are going to have two high safeties because you're in goal to go. So you're going to try and have your safety split the field in half. And then you're going to have two inside linebackers, and they're going to be able to fill the run. And you don't have Nick Boyle. You don't have Pat Ricard, who the Ravens spent a lot of money on those two players for their blocking ability. and neither of them could go today. COVID and Boyle is like, Ricard is like injured with COVID. So it's like they weren't able to be comfortable there because defenses don't have to respect the fact that you can throw a ball over their head anymore. So they're going to put a guy in every gap, which they did, which is what the Rams did last week. And if you want to go run into a wall down there, that's fine. Freeman got hurt. So you're like, all right, whatever. They also were up against the clock. Could they have run the ball? Sure. If they didn't score, would that have made you any more or less happy if they got 2 yards on second and six and it was, you know, up against, call timeout? Then it's like, why are you running the ball? You don't have time. And the only other time they had the ball down there, the drive went, I believe, where's this interception? The drive went, golly, son of a bitch, where's this? Whatever. It was literally seven straight run plays. It's, I think, first and six or second and six from the six. And they throw one pass, which looked like a pylon concept, which is where it's just crossers, but it's in the end zone. And instead of attacking vertically, you have Andrews on the right and Bateman on the left. This is something they've run a few times. They ran it. My most favorite one was Lamar's first start in Kansas City. John Brown scored a touchdown on it for a go-ahead touchdown. You line up on opposite sides, and you have the crossers cross and run at the pylon instead of over top so that you have more room to work in the end zone to float the ball over top, and then the receiver can work backwards. So they ran that, and then Andrews broke upfield instead of running towards the pylon, and Bateman sat back down and ran back across and broke free. Four defenders converge on Andrews, and you basically scheme open Bateman wide open, and Huntley just flings it into a quadruple-covered Mark Andrews for an interception. So could they have run the ball a couple of times? Maybe you're able to do that. Sure. But it was like every time you've done that the last couple of weeks, you've gotten defeated. Maybe you can run, you know, the Chiefs' little shovel pitch. And then guess what probably happens? It'll like fucking hit off of Josh Oliver's butt and get intercepted or something stupid because you're running with a backup offense for the most part, aside from, you know, your receivers, your star tight end and two of your linemen. Other than that, it's a shit show. And you've got Patrick McCary going in and out. Alejandro Villanueva is your left tackle. So they're able to scheme open a couple of things and have a couple of nice runs. But in the end, it's like they have not been able to score down there. Scoring down there is really hard. You got Cam Hayward and Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt and all these fucking beasts up front for the Steelers. And, you know, they're not good against the run. But if you go look at what they do in the red zone against the run, it's really good. It's good situational football. And that's why yards don't matter. They ran for 240 yards today. Murray busted one. Finally, someone busted a long touchdown. Finally, it felt like that was not the they're going to win moment, but it was like, oh my God, this game is going the right way moment. And I don't know, man. It's just like no matter what they call, no matter what they do, it doesn't work out. It doesn't turn out. Like Harbaugh said, they just can't find a play. And everybody wants to blame someone, so they want to blame Roman. And it's, I don't know at this point. I don't know what to say. Fire him, sure. Go get someone else and then scream about that next person. Ravens fans have screamed about the offensive coordinator every single season aside from the Gary Kubiak year. Ravens fans have hated every year of every offensive coordinator for 20 years aside from 1 year of Gary Kubiak. And people are saying, oh, just like in San Francisco, it regressed. It's been there 3 years. All right. Well, they were in a good place when they had their starting quarterback, their star quarterback. They were putting up, you know, 27, 28 points a game. They were the one seed in the AFC at one point. And like I said, early in the year, you know, it's you got to temper expectations because they're starting handicapped already, and it's just going to get worse. They're not just going to stay completely healthy the entire year, and it just got worse. So I don't know, man. Huntley was throwing some lollipops today. They couldn't really throw the ball effectively. The one nice pass he had was like a moon ball to Mark Andrews where he was so open and he had so much room to the sideline that Huntley was able to just over top and throw a teardrop in there. But other than that, you know, there just wasn't a lot of special out there. And it's why we appreciate Lamar Jackson because he went, 45 touchdowns without throwing a pick down there. And they scored at such a high rate. They punched the ball in at such a high rate. And everyone's like, why doesn't Roman run the ball down there? everyone hates Greg Roman because all he wants to do is run the ball. And now you're complaining that he won't run the ball. I feel like I'm on crazy pills. He would love to just be able to impose his will. That is how they've constructed their roster. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins. They invest in tight ends and fullbacks and all of this shit. And it's like, what do you think he wants to do? He didn't have faith they were going to be able to score a touchdown. And maybe Tyler Huntley can throw it to a wide open Rashad Bateman on the fucking concept that you work out, where it's basically if they go with Andrews, don't throw it to Andrews. If they go with Bateman, don't throw it to Bateman. So it didn't happen. Tyler Huntley is not good. He's fine. Ben Albright is saying teams are going to sniff around for him. Go put him in another system and watch what probably happens. He's been able to watch Lamar do it. He's fast, kind of like Lamar, and can, you know, run around, make plays with his legs, but he's just not making special plays or throws. So he had one good game against a Packers defense that had as much injury trouble as the Ravens did. And I think, I don't know, it's just expectations versus reality. And the defense can't make one stop when they need to. The offense can't score the one fucking touchdown or two-point conversion that they need. And it's what happened this year. So whatever, fire him, bring on someone else. But if you want to talk, if that's been your thing and you've been screaming it for 6 months, you've been heard. I promise. Everyone knows that Ravens fans want Greg Roman fired. You've been heard loud and clear. And if it's going to work, then there you go. But just if you want to talk about it, like, why? What is your ultimate point? The play calling is bad. A 7-year-old could say that. Can we have a little more nuance to the discussion? That's all I ask.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, what I don't get is like thinking that you like could ever know how it could get better from here. And like, I'm not saying that like you shouldn't aspire to be better, but like a lot of these people making criticism, like, guys, like, all due respect, and I don't watch a ton of film either. I know you're not watching film and you kind of probably don't know what you're talking about in that case. So like, it's one thing to like go on Twitter and like make your jokes or whatever, but people that are like getting really like serious about it and like getting personal towards Greg Roman weirdly in some spots, I don't know. I just find the whole thing kind of ugly and weird, and just like he's this like totem of misfortune for Ravens fans going all the way back to the beginning of 2020 when they were struggling at times with their passing game. To the point now where people are bringing up, oh, the end of Super Bowl 47, that sequence, he fucked that up. It's like, okay, guys, well, if you're going to reference that, why are we not allowed to reference 2019 as a high watermark on his
2020, they ran for 270 yards a game last year down the stretch to make the postseason. Josh 360-47. They had two timeouts. They should have ran at least once. That's why it's frustrating. Again, do you think Greg Roman doesn't want to run the ball? He wants to run the ball. He doesn't think it's going to work. Why? Go back and look at the last 25 goal-to-go carries that they've had that are from like outside the one. They're struggling down there. They don't have big behemoth offensive linemen. They don't have Boyle. They don't have Ricard. They are struggling down there because teams don't have to respect the pass at all. They can just gap up every single gap. D, C, B, A on both sides of the ball, and the safeties are going to be in too high, and they're going to flow down to the perimeter.
Then he should, and if it doesn't,
it's just crazy. Do you think he doesn't want to? Do you think that anyone knows better than him if he can run the ball or not? He's one of the best fucking run game coordinators, one of the best run minds in the world, in the history of the world. He's one of the best.
No, I'm not frustrated.
One of the best in the world. If you want to talk about his pass game, please go for it. He's not a very good. He's not a very, you know, he's at best a top maybe or a bottom like 10 to 12 pass game coordinator, so to speak. If you just take his pass game for all that it is, it's married to the run game very much so. They've done some nice things. He's got some option stuff, some RPO stuff. You know, they've schemed some guys open. I thought that the pylon play was a nice little play down there to try and fake a tendency and then have Bateman break out of it. Ends up in an interception somehow. But I just don't know, man. Complaining about Roman's run game is like complaining about fucking Guy Fieri's cheeseburgers. Like, if you want to complain about Guy Fieri's escargot, then go for it. If you want to complain about his French cuisine, but it's like, that's what he does the best. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm just like, and to your point about the rant there, like, I don't even know, like, what to say to validate it or invalidate it. I am just so ready for, like, the discussion to be over and, like, the excuse to be gone. Like, get rid of him and bring somebody else in and let's see what happens, because I'm tired of hearing about it. And, like, maybe that's...
Here, Thad Radcliffe, sorry, buddy. Giro has to go. It's that simple. What the fuck does that mean? I feel like I'm watching, like, the movie Don't Look Up. I feel like I'm watching Don't Look Up. It's just like a political party. Are you Roman or anti-Roman?
I don't even want to be around anymore.
It's not even like, it's just crazy that you can think that is why they are, like, not accomplishing their goals this year. Like, that is the issue with the Ravens in 2021 and 2022. This season was Greg Roman. That is what you think the issue was?
It's that simple. He boils it down. He boils it down to a very simple and easy to understand fulcrum point for me. He has to go. It's that simple. And let's just move on. Okay. You need to calm down.
Don't look up. It's a lie. They want you to look up. Don't look up.
Wow.
Sam Cook, no longer the NFL's most accurate passer.
That was a tough scene. I don't know what they were doing there.
Run a play. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Send your offense out there.
It would have been a fantastic idea if it worked. It was just one of those. It was like, all right.
I didn't love the
process.
Tylan
Wallace was able rainy to lunge day. And grab that ball.
I didn't
it. Love was
it.
Just obscure. I don't know. It was a very rainy, cold day. And obviously, throwing the ball was not fun a lot of the game. I think that the Steelers kind of picked up a little bit as the Ravens' corners dwindled and Ben dropped back 1,000 times as usual. And I don't know. It was just a weird call.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, it's tough. And like that, listen, that might be the last we see of Sam Cook. Maybe he'll retire. Who knows? It's tough.
I've been wondering about that for a while. I've been wondering for a while if he's going to go. This team has,
it means
again,
at times,
Greg Roman hater. This team has a peak. What does that even mean?
This team has fucking peak. Stop trying to save Greg.
Has fucking peak. What do you think that Tyler Huntley and Eric Tomlinson are going to go lead you to the promised land in the playoffs?
They've peaked. What don't you get?
Okay,
about that?
They did peak. They peaked at being very bad in the second half with no players.
I just don't understand what you're not getting about this argument that he's making.
Don't look up. Don't look up, fire Roman. Fine. Yes. As I've said on this podcast, NFL coordinators usually don't stick around longer than 3 years. I would guess that the average lifespan is about 2.2 years, if I had to guess. So Marcus Wilson sums up the Steelers very well here. It's frustrating watching the middling Steelers fail upwards. They are like the kid who makes a mistake at every turn and ends up with like a great job and a hot wife and a freaking kid. His kids are both like Rhodes Scholars. And it's like, how the fuck did Gary get here? What has Gary been doing to get here? What does Gary do to deserve that?
Maybe Gary was taking care of some shit behind the scenes that we're not privy to. Don't judge people.
Exactly. But Ravens end up with a 14th pick. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. Very, very high pick in the history of the Ravens franchise. In John Harbaugh's tenure, I believe that's the second highest pick they've had.
Yeah, it's the highest since Ronnie Stanley at number 6 in 2016.
It will be a fun draft season, fun draft coverage. They have a lot of questions. Calais Campbell debating retirement, obviously. I think that's a major...
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
This whole Sauce Gardner thing, there is a very clear and inherent cool name bias going on right now. If this guy's name was fucking John 100%. Smith, we would not be having this discussion. We would not even be having close to the amount of dialogue if his name was fucking Dave Brown. Like, come on, guys. This is so obvious. It's right in front of our face. I'm sure he's good, and I'm sure he'll be an option for him, but let's calm down with he's the next fucking, you know, Dion. Like, come on.
I 100,000% agree with that. I do think he's a very good player. I do think he is a first-round corner, but it is 1,000%. A name-induced bias.
Which is good. It's a great name. Like, I would love to be able to have a young gentleman named Sauce playing for my favorite team. But come on, guys. Let's not zero in on him right now. There's plenty of other good prospects out there.
He also does fit the Ravens' prototype at corner. I was trying to think of a cooler word, but prototype. He's long, strong, down to get the friction on. He's like 6'3", 205. He's basically like a Jimmy Smith type coming out. Very fluid, very natural. He can make plays underneath. And we'll get into all this stuff in the coming months, but it's like he's a great corner, but we have so many bigger needs. Well, okay, so draft a bad player at the position that you need. Just, I'm not ready. Draft season starting this second is not ready for that. We haven't even hit the Senior Bowl yet, but yeah, this one stings. But at the end, it was like a dog kind of getting put down instead of suffering in the end, because then we would have had to go home or rush to a bar and watch the Miami Dolphins beat the Patriots narrowly at the end of that game. And it would have been cool to see the Ravens take out Big Ben and send him home packing. But the NFL is going to get the advantage of being able to hang on to that last ride. There's nothing that the NFL loves more than last rides, than announced retirement runs. There's nothing that the NFL loves more than that. So that's going to be a fun one for the NFL to make all sorts of commercials. I'm sure NFL Live and NFL Countdown and NFL freaking whatever 7,000 shows they have are going to have a great time talking about that and hyping that up and whatever. And Ben made a couple of nice throws today. I think he had a little bit bigger balls than he's played with even as recently as last week. So I, you know, made that really nice throw to Freiermuth. He snuck another ball in. I want to say to Deontay Johnson downfield, 17-yard throw over the middle of the field. So Ben had a little bit of pep in his step. I asked for it and I got it.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly did. And I think he did play pretty well today. I got to give him his flowers. I've been having a lot of fun at his expense here the last couple of weeks. And he went and stuffed it right in my face, which, you know, that was, of course, the only outcome that we were going to get. So, yeah, here we are. They finish the season at 8-9, and the Steelers will be dancing, most likely. But like I said, you know, we can continue the John Wayne jokes and kind of have our fun watching them lose in the playoffs. So that'll be good, at least.
Low point of the day, or most angry point of the day for me, easily TJ Watt doing his kick down the door after a botch snap.
He does that after every he's involved on any play. It's like, dude, you got to like holster that and use it at the right time. Like he's very much JJ's little brother. Like
they drink milk, take HGH and do celebrations. It's sick.
Yeah. And they always know where the camera is, always playing it up. And I am very glad that he did not get the record. Let's just say that.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just performance by him just kicking down the door. I really, really hope someone makes a supercut of all 22 and a half of his sacks, because I will say very athletic, tremendous tester. He had like the classic, he's white, so that makes him like a gritty guy who wasn't gifted when he has a 40-inch vertical, runs 4.6, and is like a fucking freak athlete. So that was always fun. But I swear it is like all of his sacks are over 3 seconds or over like 3.5 seconds. He'll get his way to you eventually. He'll co-chase you down and grab you by the ankles. And it's just like Ravens fan complaining about TJ Watt, but boy, oh boy, I don't enjoy watching him play.
I will say, let's get some sack production out of this defense next year. I understand that there are like schematic things that, you know, the sack totals don't matter as much. That's another discussion that I'm tired of. And I frankly want to see more sacks. I'll say it. I know there, like I said, that there's reasons why Wink's defense, you know, funnels, you know, certain plays certain ways, and he's not always trying to go for sack totals necessarily. But you know, how about you be a good defense and you get more sacks next year? That's what I want to see. That's my New Year's resolution for Wink. Find a way to get more sacks out of these players. And you're going to get Owe back and fully healthy for a sophomore season. So I'm confident it'll happen, especially because of the fact that he probably can't go much further down in that total. I think Tyus Bowser, what did he lead the team with, like 8 or something? So we can do better in that department is what I'd say.
Sure. Finish better. You obviously want to see some interior guys get a little bit more proficient in the pass rushing department. I think a large part of that would be getting a nose tackle that can get penetration and ID the pass quickly. has a little bit more length. Brandon Williams has been a great player against the run for a long time, but boy, oh boy, is he an ineffective pass rusher. Did some nice things after he came back from his injury. Clearly he was playing hurt or injured at one point in the season, and kind of came back and stuck it to me and Vaz and many people. Had a really nice year. But I think getting a nose to be able to be in those first and second down situations and win a little bit quicker and have more length and be able to be a little bit more of a finisher goes a long way. So it's going to be a fun draft season. Ridgeway out of Arkansas is a fun one. And obviously a lot of people like Jordan Davis. I think just like Derek Brown has a little bit more pass rush upside than people like to give credit for. It's like, what are you being asked to do versus what you can do? So I think that would go a long way. And finishing better, man. I mean, Matt Stafford looked like he was prime Ben Roethlisberger last week. And Stafford's a tough dude, but like he was reeling out of some sacks. Bowser got the strip sack on him after Stafford like submarined him and flipped him up over his head. So finishing a little better, finishing under control. I will say Patrick Queen definitely missed some tackles today on the final and the at some crucial moments. I thought he had a really strong game up until the last couple plays or the last couple drives, pardon me, missed a big tackle on Pat Freiermuth. Najee got the best of him one time. The Freiermuth one was tough. Freiermuth's been a beast, but he definitely had a little bit of an overpursue there. Didn't break down, didn't get there. Chuck Clark, holy shit, had a great stick today on Deontay Johnson. They end up holding the Steelers to a field goal early in the game where Deontay Johnson won inside. And Chuck Clark made one of the most beautiful form tackles, hit Deontay Johnson right in his ribs, form tackle, and kicked him off the field for a little while. The Ravens end up getting a stop there. They did have a couple nice short yardage stuffs. So that was fun today. Among some other things, there were some positives. Latavius Murray, I mean, holy shit, man. He had the game of a lifetime today. Ran for, what, 150? And had that long touchdown consistently. The Ravens had three different players rattle off 20-plus yard runs. So I think that's why a lot of people get frustrated not being able to separate the fact of like how condensed defenses are and what they want to take away when you're at the 30 or when you're at the opposing team's 5-yard line. But Davius Murray, awesome day. I enjoy watching him run when he gets holes because there is just not a thought in his mind other than hitting that hole.
Yeah, and you know, take a couple guys down in the process too. So yeah, he was fun to watch this year. I assume we've probably seen the last of him. We've probably seen the last of Freeman as well, I think. But yeah, those guys, I got to give them credit for stepping into a difficult situation and kind of making some hay at times. So shout out to them.
Certainly, in the comments here, we need safeties that can also cover. Again, I think that's a little bit of a misdiagnosis. I think that Chuck and Deshaun Elliott and Brandon Stevens, I think those guys actually are really good in coverage, like playing man coverage or picking someone up in zone. They just aren't the ball hawking kind of always going to pick the ball off. You know, they don't have Trayvon Diggs ball skills, but I think they're actually really solid as coverage safeties. People just want that, you know, Ed Reed type, that Earl Thomas type, that freelance middle of the field prowler that can allow some things to happen, but it hasn't really been their MO and not one of the guys they have. So that's interesting. I mean, this safety room, I think, is really interesting going into the offseason. We've seen a lot of good things out of Brandon Stevens. I think that he's going to continue to grow. I think he's a super explosive athlete. I want to go back and rewatch. I didn't really get to see a replay of I look like Christian Welch kind of tried to go for the ball a little bit and then Brandon Stevens had to make a play around it or something, but you'd like for them to get those. The Steelers also had a couple missed touchdowns as well or missed interceptions as well, but yeah, they've struggled to reel the ball in a little bit, but I don't know, man. Geno Stone had a really nice interception today. Chuck Clark had a couple last week. Clark had a chance for a diving one this year, but yeah, O-line, number one priority, build the wall, strengthen vision. I think that's it, man. I really do. You want to retool that defensive line a little bit. You'll be returning a fair amount of defensive players. Obviously, I have to do some adjusting there. I'm relatively confident in the Ravens' ability to go find veterans or go find some later defensive players that can be role players and things of that nature, the LJ Forts of the world and the, you know, the Geno Stones of the world. But offensive line has to be first priority. Give Lamar Jackson that confidence up front. We'll see what happens with Ronnie Stanley. I think that a favorite of mine is in this process, Icky and Charles Cross, NC State and Mississippi State left tackles, I think, are going to be favorites here. And I'd rather kind of have two good left tackles than have Ronnie Stanley go out and undercompensate there. But very confident that the Ravens are going to address the offensive line profusely. Looks like Zeitler will be back. Bozeman, from what I've heard, is very far off in negotiations. What I kind of heard is that his agent is kind of up into selling his guard versatility, and guards do get paid more, but I think that's going to change soon. I think that the center market is going to be shifting and people are going to start to appreciate centers. I think that playing center is a little harder than playing guard, to be honest. A little bit more to it, accounting for the snap and what you have to do. And I think that if you're a good center, you're probably a good guard. So I do think that is a thing. Whereas I don't think being a good tackle makes you a good guard necessarily. So going to be interesting to see what happens with this offensive line. But other than that, I mean, receiver, got to think they're pretty set. People were, screaming for Prochet. You want to see Tylan Wallace get some time. But I think they're set at receiver. Tight ends, we'll get Boyle back. We'll see if they add somebody else. I could see them trying to add, Jake Ferguson out of Wisconsin or something like that. Someone who could be a little bit similar to Andrews, give you some fun. A little bit of Ertz and Goddard or something like that. A little bit of Hurst and Andrews even. Could see that being an addition, someone that can help in the blocking department. Ricard is a free agent.
Hayden Hurst.
And has been dealing with a lot of injuries. So a lot to change. But again, give Lamar Jackson an awesome offensive line. And I think this Ravens offense is going to prosper next year, whether it's Roman or someone else calling plays.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm looking forward to it. I mean, especially with all those mid-round picks that they have, if they want to move up, they can do that. If they want to maybe try and flip that for an asset along the offensive line, one of those. You're talking about people have had their complaints with EDC, but you're talking about a guy who's flipped fifth-round picks for, starters and really star players at times. So, if you find yourself in a spot where maybe there's some veteran offensive linemen available and you say, hey, let's have you dump that salary. We'll flip you one or two of these fourth round picks, whatever it might be. There's an option in your pocket. I'm excited in that regard too. I kind of would like to see the space eating tight end too, as well, to your point there. I feel like the Josh Oliver experiment hasn't really worked out so far. So I don't know, man, let's say Hayden Hurst becomes available and he doesn't mind coming back and playing that number two role. He might. But if he doesn't mind, then I would be really interested in that. Opportunities abound, I think. As much as we've been down from watching this kind of clown show of an offense the last 6 weeks, I think this was not nearly a representation of what we're going to be seeing next year, just by default of getting guys healthy and also with all the opportunities that they have to go and acquire new players. So the Bozeman leaving, I don't think would even be the end of the world. He was a sixth-round pick in 2018. And he developed into a different position, but he played a different position. Then he developed back into a center. They can find these guys. Don't get too cute, obviously, but be confident in your process. Like I always say.
Definitely a couple weird things defensively. Last year, I think the Ravens lead the NFL in forced fumbles. And this year they have as many forced fumbles as a team as Marlon Humphrey had alone. 8 forced fumbles. You mentioned the sacks a little bit. They've been good in pass rush win percentage. They finish around the middle of the pack in sacks. I think they'll end up with 36 on the season, 2 sacks today. At least 1 sack. I think 2 sacks today. So 36 puts them right around the middle of the pack. I think 18th, something around there. Interceptions, they finish the year with 10. So that's around 6th fewest in the NFL, I believe. Depending on the rest of the results, defensive touchdowns, they only scored 1 this year, which came last week, which was kind of a whirlwind and was exciting. So, yeah, just in general, I think they just they dropped interceptions. They couldn't quite finish sacks. It was a very strange year defensively. The punch outs, prospects, Providence, where did the punch outs go? They're still punching at the ball. I think the teams are just hyper aware of how good the Ravens were at it and limiting those opportunities. I think that there's a little bit of luck involved in that as well as there is in a lot of things. And the Ravens were able to hold some guys up, get some punches. I mean, there was a sequence against the Browns last year where they forced 3 fumbles in the first quarter, I think, and didn't recover any of them or something like that in that poop game. So it was a weird year defensively. A lot of dropped interceptions. And it's got to make a play there. Got to put two hands on the ball and reel it in. So I don't know if there's some sweeping thing to be said about it, but yeah, I think EDC gave us a little bit of insight. I'm very curious about Marcus Peters' situation coming back from an injury. I feel like he truly, you know, this is just bullshit, but I feel like he truly does love Baltimore. See him the last 2 weeks, hyper involved on the sideline. Cool moment was Chris Westry, I think, was set to cover Deontay Johnson. Looked like kind of on an island. And you see Peters just screaming to Westry. I think he was telling him to get inside leverage and then play an out. I don't know. I can't quite read lips, but it looked like we saw Westry move inside and then it prevented him from having to speed turn. He made a tough angle and ended up being an incompletion on third down. And you see how animated he is. I can't speak for him. I don't know. I can't speak for the Ravens, what they want, but it feels like they expect, you know, maybe a pay cut or a restructure, as they call it, or something of the sort. So I'm curious there, but I think a lot of insight was given by the fact that they were trying to acquire Xavien Howard. And in the grand scheme of things, I mean, Xavien Howard probably makes them a playoff team, and maybe they even just beat the Dolphins and nothing else changes, but that probably makes them a playoff team there. And it probably was for the best in the end. Keep your picks, keep your money. Don't go acquire that player. You're not a Super Bowl team. Things played out too thin. COVID tossed some monkey wrenches in, but I'm curious. I think we see another corner brought in, a high caliber corner. I'm not sure if Peter stays or what happens with Anthony Averett. Kind of feel like Averett's probably gone. I feel like someone, I see like the Eagles or someone paying him to come in and be a number two corner and play confidently. I thought he had a nice season, made himself a lot of money. But yeah, Jimmy Smith's last game in Baltimore, most likely. He could always come back and play. He pretty much said he would never play for anyone else, which was cool. But at this point, I think it's time to set sail on the horizon with that one. McPhee as well. I would like to see Calais Campbell back, though, for sure. I think he's still a pretty dominant run defender and so damn good on executing stunts and stuff inside. And I think he had the most pressures by 15 of any player with one sack or less this year. So it's not quite getting lucky enough there.
Yeah, I'm doing like a little preliminary work on like an article series for the offseason. And like, if he wants to play, like, look at like the deal that Chris Long got with the Eagles. I feel like he could very realistically make something like that happen. And they're around the same age, same draft class, I think. So that could be a good template to work from. And that could be something that could bring him back at, I think, money that he would be fine with, but would also not really be detrimental to the team at all. So maybe look to that as a little bit of a template to bring back Campbell, because I would love to have him back. Still playing good football, and really he is like, he's the face and voice of that defense right now. Like, I know we've talked about maybe a little bit of a leadership vacuum there since Sizzle left, but it really has been him, to his credit. Like, he was out there screaming his head off before the Titans playoff game last year, and they go out and they get their first playoff win in many years. And I think his leadership is a part of that. So I would certainly love to have him back.
I agree. You could tell that he was hurting a little bit as the Ravens wilted, and his last game was in vain in a sense. You could just kind of see the facial expressions, and this, you know, they were showing some close-ups of him. And as the Steelers progressed and were able to convert on that fourth down and stuff, you kind of just see. And then apparently he was just hanging out on the bench in the stadium for a long time, came to the Ravens to try and get a shot at a Super Bowl. And last year, 2020, I mean, man, 2020 was a wild season in itself. So this has truly been a wild ride these last couple of years. This season has just been inexplainable, inexplicable. 1 point losses, 3 point losses, 2 point losses, 1 point wins, 2 point wins. The way they beat the Chiefs, the way that, I mean, all kinds of stuff. The Chargers come to town and they just absolutely eliminate a team that many had as a dark horse Super Bowl team at that point in time, and kind of expose some weaknesses that they had. And comebacks, Colts, Vikings, Chiefs, I mean, all these crazy games from start to finish. The season really kind of ended the same way that it started, which is crazy to say. They start in Las Vegas, lose that one in overtime, kind of a disappointing loss there. Couldn't quite get it done. You know, they tie the game up, or they actually scored a go-ahead field goal, I believe. Then Carlson comes down and bangs a 56-yarder to send it into overtime like a madman. And things eroded from that point. And they lose in overtime to start the year. They lose in overtime to end the year.
Had, at @Marlon_Humphrey. I apparently hopped on the wrong plane heading to Indianapolis.
I'm ready for 2023.
It had to end.
How is that possible?
I can't make sense of him. I can only observe. It looks like it's public.
Boarding pass?
I don't know. Maybe he's joking. I don't know.
Whatever, man. Thanks, Marlon.
Oh, God. All right. Well, anything else?
I know a lot of people are very down right now, very down on John Harbaugh, down on all of these things, but I truly have a lot of faith that this is going to be an awesome team in 2022-2023 season, whatever. Can we just eliminate like the hyphened part? This will be the 2022 season. That's what I'm going to go with. So I think they're going to be a very explosive offense. I have a lot of faith that they're going to address the offensive line. I think that they've reached a boiling point after some things went awry in 2020. They thought that they were going to be fine. The Ronnie Stanley situation gets miscalculated and ends up kind of biting them there. McCary is a nice little silver lining, turned out to be a nice tackle that's capable and can be a swing tackle and play all up and down the line. But Juwan James, that's a lottery. That's a scratch off to me. Maybe he ends up being capable. Wouldn't count on that. Wouldn't count on him being able to stay healthy. So I think this line is going to become a good line. I think the Ravens are going to invest mainly there. You've got all the other pieces in place offensively. Hopefully Dobbins and Edwards can come back healthy, and Boyle's going to be able to come back and look a little bit more like he did previously. And I'm excited to see what this offense can do. I'm excited for this offseason. The Ravens have a pretty high draft pick. Like we said, the second highest in the Harbaugh tenure. They have a shitload of day one and two picks. So I guess as well as the fourth round, which is day three, but whatever. So they have a ton of top 150 picks. Going to be a ton of fun. We'll see what happens with cap space, Lamar's extension, something that could alleviate a lot of space. There's going to be a lot of news because it never stops. Since we've started this podcast, this is our third full season doing this. We love you guys. We had a great time. I know this is a really tough season to watch, especially this last couple months here, but it's a good team, good city, good foundation. You got Lamar Jackson, you got John Harbaugh. You already had the football gods smite you with injuries, and I expect the Ravens to look into their whole training and technology and rehab process and all of those good things. But I think the Ravens are in a very good place, and this is going to be a nice way to reset, light some fire. They're going to play a loser schedule at 8-9, which is crazy. They finished in last place, and they're definitely going to go prepare for those Bengals, because I think that's going to be the team to beat moving forward with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase leading the charge there. They're only going to get better. That offensive line's only going to get better, and that's who they've got to beat. So I think we got some insight. Like I said, DBs coming in, offensive line fixed, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But till then, we'll be breaking it all down with you guys. We appreciate everyone who stayed with us for our third year. Crazy to say that we've done this for 3 years now. Time is really flown by. And man, 3 years, 3 years, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. And I still truly do feel a Ravens Super Bowl in the next couple of years here. So I don't think either of us were thinking it was going to happen last year or this year, but I think big things on the way. Health a major factor, schedule a major factor, and getting that offensive line right. So I'm excited for things to come. Thank you to everyone who's hung in there with us, and we love you guys and are excited for what's to come next.
Yeah, we do love you guys. Thank you for tuning in with us throughout these 3 years. If you've been here from the beginning, which I don't know how many of you there are, but if you have been, then thanks for soldiering on through maybe some of the early days where the production quality wasn't great, or like, you know, something or the other might not have been up to snuff. I think we're certainly hopefully getting there in that category a little bit. I think we've rounded off into pretty good takesmen, I might say, myself. And it's all thanks to you guys and your support and sticking with us over this time, whether you're a new listener or old, like I said there. And yeah, this was a frustrating year on the field, but it was very fun from a podcaster's perspective, as it always is. And this is going to be a very, very fun offseason, I think, with a lot of moving parts, a lot of capital for this team to work with, and for our meme god at GM to hopefully take advantage of. So we're looking forward to it. Thanks again. And should I get us out of here?
Yeah, I like what, before we get out of here, I like what Josh said in the comments here. 2022, if they make the right moves, they have the killer instinct of early in the season and the dominance of 2019. They nixed all of that incapable of throwing the ball downfield, comebacks, all that stuff. I mean, they went crazy early in the season, and it's a shame things fell apart. But yeah, that sounds like the cream of crab and the Maryland crab soup combined into the Maryland crab Arnold Palmer soup. So I'm excited for that, and get us out of here.
Thanks, as always, for listening, guys. We'll talk to you later in the week. Of course, we're going to keep this thing rolling. Not really sure what we're going to talk about yet. We'll probably do some sort of end-of-season type stuff over the next couple of weeks, so maybe it'll be kicking it off.
Let's get some interviews going. We'll get some interviews going and some people to come in. One final thought before you fully get us out of here. Scott Hansen really struck me today. Looks so much like Ryan Tannehill. I think they might be separated at birth.
That's a good point. Yeah, they do have kind of the square sort of pronounced jaws, the head sort of shapes that certain way. And two Caucasian gentlemen of a certain build and a certain appearance. I don't know where I was going with that.
All right, get us out of here.
Yeah. Thanks as always for listening, guys. We'll talk to you later in the week. Like you said, we're going to get the offseason fully pumping, interviews, offseason content, all that good stuff. So appreciate it. Follow us on social media. In the meantime, you can find the podcast at Podcast Beatdown on Twitter and at Baltimore_Beatdown on Instagram. You can find me at Jake Luke on Twitter. That's LOUQUE. Spencer is at Ravens for Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. And also head to BaltimoreBeatdown.com for all of our site's great written content, including from us two, yours truly. See you guys later. Once again, disappointing season, but it was fun as always. And hopefully you're having a better Sunday night than Marlon is on a plane full of Georgia fans. But until then, we will talk to you.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Out of me. They gonna get a Super Bowl out of me. Believe that. Believe that.